You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
This is, we've got a special guest going to speak to us about this matter, but let's just preempt what we're going to speak about. We are living in a state at the minute that, and this is what age gives you, it gives you experience and the fact that we have been on the planet longer than most people. I have never seen a government treat its citizens like this government, Victorian government, is treating Victorians at the minute. It is an absolute travesty. It's a disgrace. And we are now in the midst of a political crisis. We survived. I survived. You did the Gough Whitlam government, who did extraordinary things. In 1 year, they had the highest industrial unrest, the highest interest rates, the highest unemployment, and the highest inflation in 1 year. No one's ever done that in the history of the world. But this is more than that. This is a huge crisis. How does a Victorian company that is not even a preferred supplier to the Victorian government get a $30 million contract for 3 months without open competition or a competitive tender process? That's the people who have plunged this state into 800 deaths, overseen by this government, and they are treating the people of this state with utter contempt, and they must leave. They must. The Premier must either resign or get taken out of office. Now, we are going to speak. Do you agree with any of this, Donald, or do you think someone else could be doing a better job? The fact that they're in bed with the Chinese, now this is not a reflection on people who live in here in this country from China, who are either nationals, Chinese nationals, or Australian citizens. This is about the Chinese government, who have spread a pandemic throughout the whole world. They have infiltrated this government by complicity and by the wherewithal and the complete satisfaction of the government. They've taken over this country, this city, thanks to the Victorian Labor government. If you want any better example than that, let me know, because they have given a $2.5 billion contract to the Chinese government to build trains here. So the Premier is probably the most incompetent. The government are liars. They are disingenuous and they are actually evil. And what they're doing to the people of this state is extraordinary. Now, we're going to ring a number.
Before we go, can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Do you think you're now responsible for the...
Can I ask a quick question? Do you think you're now responsible for the golf ban?
So the golf ban, right.
It's ridiculous.
No, but do you think now maybe there's a touch of spite in it? Like, you know, I know that sounds ridiculous.
No, I tell you what.
As if I'm being an egomaniac on Sam's behalf, but...
I think there's a touch of validity in that. You could not tell me that you could open the Mornington Hot Springs baths or hot springs and have people sit in...
I don't think that's a very good example. Like swimming pools, they are not the healthiest places to be, swimming pools or hot. You are mixing with people there in those situations. I don't think that's a good example.
That's exactly a great example. That's what I'm saying. How can you open the Mornington Hot Springs baths and open communal swimming pools and not let people go and play golf? And this is a disgrace. And what will happen is that this Premier will say, yes, you can go and play golf, but you can't go more than 5 kilometres from home, which will render 90% of the golf courses useless because no one lives within 5 kilometres
You marching on the steps of Parliament didn't help.
Maybe. So we get this person on the line. We're going to speak to someone who might know how we can overcome the fact that we've got a government that is corrupt and it is disingenuous, and it is not doing the right thing by its public. And this man might tell us how we can overcome it.
Good morning, Samuel.
Jeff Kennett, the ex-premier of this great state, once great state of Victoria. Thank you very much for taking the call. Now, I've got a simple question I want to ask you, please, sir. I think the majority of Victorians are absolutely gobsmacked at the way this government is handling what's going on. Is there any way legally that this government can be held to account and dismissed?
Jeff. You are correct in your assumption. The public have had a gutful, and if we don't see a substantial lift in the restrictions on October the 19th, I think the public will increasingly ignore the edicts that are coming from both the Premier and the Chief Medical Officer. To your question,
yes,
there is no constitutional way that this government can be dismissed or the Premier can be sacked. I say constitutional.
That's from the Governor.
That is, well, it is from the Constitution.
Yes.
So the only way the government can be brought down is if, in fact, they lose a vote on the hall, on the floor of the lower house of Parliament. And that is unlikely to happen because the Labor Party have absolute control there. So you need about 10 of their members to cross the floor. That won't happen. So that is the first thing. Rule out the constitutional. Secondly, there is an inquiry that has concluded, and we're waiting the findings of the inquiry, which could hold the government to account, which therefore might lead to either the Premier, who said he accepts responsibility for the 800 deaths, etc., standing down. That is most unlikely, but it's a possibility. This Premier, as you know, is a law unto himself and has no concept of the practice of a democracy under the Westminster system that we have here in Victoria and Australia. Now, there is one other way that is a legal form. The Labor Party passed some legislation last year which was designed to hold to account people in the private sector, people who run businesses, etc., construction companies, who were, in the event that they were deemed to have acted irresponsibly or led to the cause of an accident and death, those corporate leaders could be held to account, they could be fined, they could be jailed. Within that piece of legislation, sorry, that legislation has to, first of all, the ramifications of any such incident has to go to workplace, which is an authority, and they will determine whether there is a case to be brought against the private sector, individual or company.
Yes.
That could be used against the government.
So you're saying, you're saying the very legislation might rebound on the people who made the legislation in the first place?
Yes, because you can't just deem a piece of legislation applying to one sector of the community. It applies to them all. And within the legislation, there are two words that are terribly important. One is that the people responsible, the owners of the business or the CEO, commissioned work to be done that led to a fateful outcome.
Yep.
Or secondly, because of their omission. So either they did something deliberately or they failed to do something, those people could be held to account. Now, it is my view and an increasing number of legal views around town that this government, because they so dramatically failed in the administration of the hotel quarantine system, from which 98% of the second wave of virus and including the vast majority of deaths originated, the government and the senior ministers, and by that I mean the Gang of Eight, the Premier and his other seven ministers he put together as a political PR stunt, could be held to account in the same way that any person in the private sector could. Now, if that was the case, and they were found guilty, then they could be penalised and they could be sacked and all sorts of things could happen. So that is the outsider line right now.
I think you said, if this man or this government doesn't at some stage start to act responsibly, you would think that either a program or a process of civil disobedience or a disregard for ridiculous laws should be should sweep the people in this state, and we should just carry on how we think we should carry on.
Want to be misinterpreted. No, I do not support civil disobedience under any circumstances, because that is not fair on the law enforcement agencies, it's not the right thing to do.
But if you disregard...
I do say that we're already seeing, and as we go into summer, hot weather, people have been cooped up for 9 months.
Yep.
They want to get out, and they will get out if, in fact, hot weather, beaches, etc. I am saying that there is a real opportunity that the government itself, including the Premier, have failed in their duties, and this is borne out, Sam, by the fact that not only every minister, including the Premier, but every senior bureaucrat who went before that inquiry had a loss of memory.
Yep,
that was quite a deliberate tactic, because if they had admitted that they were involved or failed, then they certainly would have been caught under this piece of legislation, the industrial legislation that I've referred to. So someone has briefed every minister and every public servant to simply say, we don't know, we don't remember.
It's
that is their defence.
Disgraceful.
But that means they have played the inquiry for a break, and it'll be very interesting. And I think the inquiry was a sham anyway, because if you compare it with the financial inquiry headed up by Mr. Justice Hayne, in that inquiry they chased every rabbit down every burrow. In this inquiry to do with the hotel quarantine, it was just a talk fest, and there are so many obvious questions that were not pursued of ministers and of the public servants. And that's partly because they say, we don't know anything. So there are, I think, there is no constitutional way you can bring this government down. Secondly, there could be a legal way of doing it. Thirdly, the inquiry may give an option where the Premier, technically, if a man of honour, has no other alternative but to resign. But given his performance to date, you've got to say he doesn't give a damn about the administration and the delivery of the democracy under the Westminster system that so many others are judged by and live by.
Now, the Westminster system you just touched on, Jeff, in a federal sphere, the Governor-General is the Queen's representative, and we go back to the 70s where Gough Whitlam was replaced. What is the job of the Governor in Victoria then?
Right, similar. But if you except in Canberra, the John Kerr situation, change of government, was because the budget was blocked in the upper house.
Budget of supply, yes.
Yeah, could not get it through, and therefore the Governor-General said the interest of the company matters, and therefore he gave Malcolm Fraser the opportunity to be temporary Prime Minister until the election was held. In Victoria, the Labor Party have changed the rules so that even if supply were to be blocked in the upper house here, that does not lead to a new election. So that power that the Governor-General has in Canberra does not exist anymore here in Victoria.
So
there is no way the Governor can dismiss the government.
So what is the point of having a Governor of Victoria?
Well, because they live in a very nice house and we need someone to open and close events.
So I don't want to have you me say you said something you didn't, but you said that the hot weather is coming on and people just want to get out and they want to go to the beach and self-distance and act responsibly. But if, and it's a bit like golf, if the Premier says, you can do all that, he said, but you can't go 5 kilometres from home, it is no point opening any golf courses up because no one 90% of the people who are members of golf courses all over the metropolitan area don't live within 5 kilometres of their golf course. So that is just a shallow promise. And if you can't go to the beach, if he says, no, we're closing the beaches down, no matter how hot it gets, you will end up breaking the law if you go to the beaches. So how does that work?
Well, Sam, I don't believe that the 5 kilometre radius should exist any longer. I think it's stupid in the first place.
Yes, but if he keeps
the ban on... Hold it, let me finish. Yes. I also believe the ban on travel within Victoria is ridiculous. So there's thousands of people who have beach houses, which they have left, where the insurance now has run out, in as much as if you don't visit your beach house within 100 days, your policy could lapse. And what the insurance companies are doing is saying, if you have a claim, there's going to be an extra surcharge applied. There are many beach houses now which are becoming fire risks as we go into the summer period. So lawns haven't been cut, et cetera, et cetera. So I am totally opposed to the retention of the 5 kilometre ban. I'm totally opposed to restrictions, borders within Victoria. I've always said you've got to live with this virus. You can't work towards eliminating it because it will continue to pop up. And it's so quite clear 100%. That the original...
100%, Jeff. But if you say that and we all say that, but if he says, I don't care what you say, you can't go more than 5K, we are absolutely stymied and there's nothing you can do about it. It's extraordinary.
Sam,
yes.
What I'm saying to you is, but I'm not advocating, people need to get out. They need to move. I can't stand. I saw a clip on the news last night where the chief medical officer, Professor Sutton, was laughing. I mean, well may he laugh while he's got the whole state locked down in little bloody units, et cetera, with a 5 kilometre movement. Well may he laugh. But it reminds me of when Jacinta Allen, the transport minister, destroyed the taxi industry and destroyed the lives of so many families financially. These people do not care. They don't care what's happened to so many businesses. They simply do not care. Their one objective, and one objective only, is the medical solution. Even though this virus, there'll be no vaccine for a long time, regardless of what they pump into Donald Trump. So they don't give a damn. So there are businesses out there that have folded. There are businesses that have got no hope. There are lives that have been lost. They don't care. Right. What I'm saying to you is, I think this virus will, as it is now, reduce in terms of incidence. I think hot weather will assist that. But I am also saying I'm totally opposed to civil disobedience. But if the Premier thinks he's going to stop Victorians starting to exercise their rights and to get out of what I call these shutdown environments, I think he's wrong. So that's why I'm very confident from the 19th we're going to see a reopening to some degree.
Jeff, the Liberal Party, the opposition, non-existent. Is that a problem that we as a community are facing because they're not holding the government to account? That's one question. And the second, lack of transparency in the State Emergency Extension Bill, when you have 3 independents in the Legislative Council, Ratman, Medic and Patton, giving a favourable vote for the extension, yet we don't know what they received in return for their vote. 2 questions. The Liberal Party, is it a weak institution at the moment?
And on the first question, the Liberal Party, the opposition, they do exist. They're not great in number. And because they are the opposition and because they can't affect change, at times of challenge, you find the public normally support the government of the day in the hope that the government is going to do the right thing by them, and this government has clearly failed. I agree with you. The opposition hasn't been as effective as I would like to have seen it. And that's unfortunate, but that's a matter of personalities, etc., etc. In terms of the extension of the state of emergency, you were right. 2 of the people you mentioned are Greens, and they always vote with the government. The other person, Fiona Patton, is now the only representative of the Reason Party, and I've had a lot to do with Fiona, and some things I agree with her on and others I don't. I spoke to her before the vote and asked her not to extend the powers. I'm saddened that she joined the government. There is a worse bill coming up before the Parliament, an omnibus bill, which will give extraordinary powers to individuals, absolutely extraordinary powers. Now, Fiona Patten has said she's going to vote against it. I just don't know any longer whether I can rely on her judgment and her interest in putting the people of Victoria first. But as I say, the government only needs three independents in the upper house to get legislation through. They got that on the extension of the powers, two because of the Greens and one because of Fiona
Patten. But what did they get in return for their vote? There's a lack of transparency.
Who knows?
Well, it should be transparent. They are our
representatives. Yeah, I understand that.
They're our representatives.
Yeah, but I have no idea. I have no idea what they got out of it. I understand the Greens because they're just an appendage of the Labor Party. But I was particularly profoundly disappointed in Fiona Patten.
Well, look, this is a weak and shallow exploitation of the Victorian public by this government, and the very fact that we have to have this conversation, I've never known a political party or a premier who, as you said, have no interest in free enterprise or the capitalists. They couldn't give a stuff. No,
that's right.
They're only interested in you on one day of the year, and that's election day.
I think the thing that's interesting, and I've noticed that in recent weeks, there is an anger building up. People have gone along with this as they should have, even though they disagree with our loss of movement and civil liberty, etc., etc. But that is now being replaced by an anger. People are cross, and they're cross of all ages. So this is like a pressure cooker. If the Premier doesn't let off some steam pretty quickly to enable us to get back to living our lives, I tell you what, there's a very real chance that this pressure cooker will explode. And that is not what I advocate, it's not what I want, but the Premier's got to realise that he has caused immeasurable harm psychologically, commercially, and actually contributed, sadly, to 800 deaths. Imagine if I, as a Premier, had caused one death or been responsible for one death, let alone 800. We would have been run out of town. And everyone has gone along with this, but I'm telling you now, the mood is changing very, very quickly.
Jeff, did you read the article by Adam Semenyak on the 1st of October? That was the first of breaking of ranks, actually somebody within the Labor Party. I realise there's a number of factions in there. How long can he contain these factions? Because it's already started, and it was a very enlightening article. Secondly, why isn't there more investigative journalism going on and informing us as readers or listener, whatever you like to call us, why isn't there more attention being given to this by the media? So I've got two questions.
Well, let me just, your first question, just remember, Daniel sacked Adam Semenyak, sacked him from the ministry recently for branch stacking.
And he's also a different faction too.
Yeah, but hang on, just wait a minute. No one had died. Adam hadn't caused any deaths in the country. He hadn't caused any businesses to close down. He hadn't increased our debt. The Premier sacked him for branch sacking. The Premier sacked another of his ministers for using the ministerial car to chauffeur his dogs around, right? So the Premier sacks people, but because he's been overseeing, as I said, the death of 800, the death of many more businesses, he's not taking any responsibility at all. So you get the value system right. Adam didn't say anything particularly new in that article. I have been repeatedly saying one of the reasons we're in this trouble is because of the Premier's control, his self-belief in himself, his refusal to take any advice. It is his hubris, it is his sense of total authority that has brought the state to its knees. So Adam was only reinforcing the point that this is a man totally out of control. in the sense that he believes he is totally in control. So that is the first point. Second, and there will be more leaks, obviously. The Labour Party is now starting to really shake, but they're also getting pressure from their Labour colleagues federally, because the federal people will be going to the election before the state, and they are very, very worried about the Andrews influence on the destruction of this state's economy. The second point, why haven't the press gone harder? I think the press have gone fairly hard, and we'll wait and see what happens when this bloody inquiry hands down its report, which I think will be just a whitewash. But they haven't gone the next step. And the next step is to say, by any standard of evaluation, this Premier has overseen the most terrible period in Victoria's history, and the loss of lives and the loss of businesses, and he should simply go. He is not honest, he is not honourable, and in fact, he has, through his own admission, brought this state to its knees. Now, you know, at some stage, I think the papers, the media, are waiting until the inquiry report comes down. Time will tell.
But Samignac is not, he's also guilty because he abstained from voting and on the extension of the state emergency bill. So had he have voted, maybe with his conscience, we wouldn't be in a state of emergency.
Yeah, well, you know, he is a member of the Labor Party. He's not now. He's been expelled from it, so he's an independent. You know, the way the Premier handled Jenny Markakos was just the most appalling, arrogant thing I've ever seen in my life. To not ring her up and talk to her, not to accept the calls, to dump her, to throw her under a bus in the inquiry. He was hoping by blaming her, he'd get off the, you know, skin-free. I mean, he's the leader of the band, and the leader of the band has got to accept responsibility for what has happened.
What about the political persuasion of the people in the inquiry? Are they...
Look,
Labor.
The inquiry, forget the inquiry, it's a waste of time. It was a third-class act, right? It was a third-class act. It did not have the forensic focus that the Haines inquiry had into financial mismanagement in the country. It didn't chase rabbits down burrows. No minister, no public servant should have been allowed to get away with this sort of answer. I don't know, I don't remember. Well, every one of them. It was a setup.
Now, Jeff, I tell you what, I've known you for a long time, and I've never heard someone like in your position to be so wound up about the way the state's headed. And we do. You would speak. You wouldn't believe for how many people you'd speak for. You know that, and it has been fantastic for you to come on and just say it as it is, because everyone is. Had a gutful, not of the fact that the different political parties in power, but the absolute arrogance and pompous nature of this government is extraordinary, and I don't know why we got to put up with it, and hopefully we won't. And I do appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, great pleasure, but just remember, I'm not advocating simple disobedience, Samuel.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Righto, goodbye. Bye-bye. Right.
Well,
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, baby.